Welcome to the Caldivian, you cock sucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
Oh shit. Let me just stop that recording.
Oh, we can wait. We can definitely wait, bro.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna cut out what you said, but I'm gonna leave in that you said something.
Oh, you're so stupid!
Hey man, it's all love, man. It's all love.
Welcome to enos.podbean.com.
Yo!
The freshest website on the internet.
Man, for real.
There is no name like .podbean.com. You've had Amazon, you've had apps, but have you had a name you've never heard? .podbean.com.
.podbean.com.
Welcome to the podcast.
Sunday, you deliver.
Out of the Chicagoland.
In the mouth.
My name's Ian Ellis.
Yo, man, my name is Leroy Hitch. What's up, everybody?
Booker.
What's happening, ladies? What's
up? I'm the only comedian in the comedy game that gives you new material every week.
The only comedian.
Every week?
Every week.
I guess the girls in Kill Tony give you a new minute, but I give you at least 5 minutes. At least five.
Man, at least five hard minutes.
That's real minutes.
No matter what's going on around you.
Now, the downside to that is sometimes that shit doesn't go that well.
Hey, man, like, for real. Like, it just be like that.
And people don't know, I only go out once a week.
Yeah.
So all the comedy you hear from me is all the comedy I do.
Yeah.
Now, for me, that's a personal strategy where I think it's more important to write and have something new and interesting to say than it is to say the same old shit three or four times throughout the course of a week or a month or a year or whatever.
Say that. Say your personal strategy one more time, because that's very intriguing to me. Like, what did you just say?
There's a thing we used to call, like, the hot five syndrome, which is you get your first 5 minutes, and then you just do it for years. Do it to death.
Right.
Because you get successful, and then you get scared of failing.
Exactly.
But I live in failing.
Yeah.
I live in the danger zone.
Oh, I like the danger zone.
So what I do is, every week I'm doing something new. Sometimes I have a sweet, wonderful, beautiful audience.
Yeah.
I can play like an instrument.
Oh, I love it. Oh, my God. How are you doing? No, how are you doing?
That's,
I love that shit.
It's great because when there's more people, you can have more liberty.
You do. Yeah.
And that leads to more creativity and experimental
shit. It does.
Shit.
More roads to travel down, because now you got a handful of selected people. They're laughing at this point. Should I travel down this road?
The audience gives me this, like, this grace period where I feel comfortable walking around in the joke.
Yeah.
Slowing down.
Getting a little dirty.
Trying to find what I want to say, or just trying to find something just for them.
I love that. Nice analogy, bro.
But sometimes,
sometimes
there's only 9 people in the room.
Yeah.
And 8 of them are comics.
Exactly.
And the other one's a wife of a comic that is tired of comedy.
Exactly. So pretty much you're in a fuck situation.
And then to add to that, there are weeks where I'm not inspired.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to write at the clip that I write at.
You know what? Not just, and that's so true because you're a mastermind, the mastermind over here, but I think that's for a lot of comics. It's very hard. Every week, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's pretty hard, bro.
So this week, you know, I had a couple things I thought of when I was high, and then I looked back at them and I was like, I'm too sober to do this. Like, there's some stuff I literally have to be high to do, because that's the only way I'm going to indulge the bobbing and the weaving that goes into telling that kind of creative story. Like, when I'm sober, I can't ride the wave on certain ideas. And so this week, I only had, like, I had 2 big ideas that I would have to be blazed to do, and I wasn't blazed enough to do it. So I just wrote down some, like, this might work. I did my Islam joke from yeah. last week, where I was like, I'll probably come up with something else. I right. I didn't. I sure didn't.
2%.
Yeah, 2%. It's probably better in the last podcast than it was tonight. But and a weird thing with, like, a room tonight is there are no stakes. Mm-hmm. When it's only 9 people, there's no stakes, but it feels like there are.
You know what? And that's true, but, hey, bro, let me say this. We're giving away too much of the episode, man. They got to tune in for that, man. Yeah. We're dropping gems over here.
So what you're going to hear tonight is, first, you're going to hear a little clip from the Joe Rogan podcast. Mm-hmm. He just had on 2 super smart professors. 3-hour-long podcast. I broke it down to the 5 minutes I felt was important.
Ooh, and you know, hey guys, when Ian said when he feels like it's important, you should tune in. Because it's really important. Like, for real, for real. Like, he's dropping gems. Y'all don't know. Look, drop gems over here.
We're supposed to have music on this whole time.
You know what? It's so deep over here.
Now,
living the life.
I really wanted to tie my set into what the audio clips are about, and I wound up not doing that. But what you are going to hear,
it's called life.
You're going to hear me struggling through a set.
Yep.
Now, my initial reaction when I went through, there's a lot of silence.
Yeah.
Which cuts me off.
Yeah.
I should
a
save
a lot of people.
I should save this for the after show.
Hey, you know what? Hey, save that. Because now you're making, just save it, bro.
So you're going to hear me, you're going to hear this audio clip from Run JRE.
Yeah.
And then you're going to hear my set from tonight.
Uh-huh.
And then me and Leroy are going to talk about bombing.
Yeah.
Different stages, different levels of bombing.
Hey, guys, I did it tonight. I'm not going to lie, man. Like we all do it. I'm comfortable with it, though. I have no problem with it.
And sometimes what would be bombing in front of 9 people would be murdering in front of 100 people.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird game.
It really is. That's why you got to be okay with it. But, hey, right now.
But before we get to that.
Before, I need you to go get a tall glass of your favorite, whatchamacallit.
Drinky drink.
Drink.
Now, I like a little bit of wine and soda.
What is the name of it? You called it at your job. What is it called again? One more time.
I call it the Stracchioli.
Oh, the Stracchioli. Add that to your vocabulary. The Stracchioli, ole.
Stracchioli, ole.
Holy!
Now, you know, get yourself a drink. Yeah. Get yourself some smoky smoke. That's key.
Oh, man. We call that good time over here. Go get yourself some good time. It can be loud. It can be quiet music. It can just, man, go get some good time and roll that up. And spark it up.
I want you to have a good time with me.
Man, me too.
And it's important.
I love y'all.
It's important to share this because you smoke, your friends smoke.
Exactly.
You like comedy.
Exactly.
Your friends like comedy.
They like funny things.
This is a subculture.
Let them hear it. Quit being so selfish and holding it in. Like, come on.
Like it's just for you. Isn't it more fun to tell your friends?
I think it is. Especially if you got the smoky smoke, having a good time. Tell your homies, like, yo, we got to listen to this real quick.
You got
to
be up there like, did you hear what the fuck Ian Ellis said?
That motherfucker.
Last week?
Dropping gems.
Dropping gems.
Y'all know that Leroy single? Yes.
Pissing
dropping
people
gems.
All right, Leroy's on the hunt. Hey, on the prowl.
Girls, I'm not on the prowl. Ladies, I'm not on the prowl. Just been working out, trying to, you know, work on my, yeah.
See, something I know is about 85 South, when they went live on YouTube the other day, is they just talked to the women. And, you know, Tupac used to say, if you want to be a success, make hits for the women.
Man, for real.
Because men are going to buy what the women are buying.
Yep.
So it's up to you to be 100% of the sexy on this podcast.
Yep. Hey, man, for real.
110%.
I got to do it for all my ancestors. Tupac, I got you. Biggie, I got you. Everybody, I got you.
I'm married. I can't do it. So.
Ian, I got you.
But Leroy will handle that business for me.
Got you.
With a swag pill and a smile.
Ooh, swag pill, popping it.
Shout out to that Smoke Bro Squad Gas podcast.
What's up, y'all? But go get yourself a good time. Get yourself a drink. Come back. Listen to your music in the meantime, between time. Call your girlfriend up and be like, girl, I'm about to share a link with you. You know, do that. Please do that for me, ladies.
I know it's a little weird.
It's not weird.
See, a lot of times I think like, oh man, everybody knows what I know. It's dumb that this is a revelation to me. But then it turns out it's like, oh, they don't know what I know.
They don't.
This is a revelation to everybody.
It is.
So we can step up the conversation in society.
I mean, let's do that.
By sharing these ideas.
Come on. Hey, I like how he said these ideas. It's simple, y'all. Let's work together. Teamwork make the dream work. Ladies, I need y'all help.
More than anything, we want you to have a good time.
Oh man, all day.
Smoke.
Drink.
Turn up. Enjoy the podcast.
Enjoy this motherfucker podcast.
Share the goddamn podcast. Listen to us and not them. And we'll be right back with some stories about bombing.
Praise Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Holy, holy.
Testify. Sanctify.
Sanctify. I was going to say, Rick. Ricky Rose.
Let's imagine an ancient farmer. An ancient farmer has a piece of land, and that piece of land will support a certain number of people with the level of technology that the farmer is utilizing. Somehow the farmer ends up either thinking of or discovering by watching somebody else a wheel. Now that farmer has a technology that allows him, or however many people are working that farm, to produce that much more food with no more labor, because the wheel allows you to transport more, for example, at one time. So now that same piece of land can support more people because it can be more efficiently farmed. That could be stabilized as a kind of success. In other words, that you could turn the extra, the surplus, into a kind of persistent...
luxury.
Yeah, a luxury. But I mean, I don't even... Luxury is a little bit too trivial sounding. You could turn it into a space where you use that to investigate important stuff. Or you could turn it into more mouths to feed, in which case, as soon as you've produced those extra mouths that are now consuming the output of that farm, now the level of, fear of starvation is right back where it was.
So you might say there's a cost to be paid in inequality for innovation. And then you could also say, well, too much inequality destabilizes things, which seems to be quite clear.
The fact is, what we are wired to do is to discover opportunities. And then when we discover an opportunity, it benefits the population that we come from. And we turn that discovery into either more mouths to feed or more consumption. And we restore the state of privation.
If you don't have any money, it's really hard to get some. Like, once you have some, it's not so hard to get some more. But
right. But
if you're at zero, Jesus, man, you're in the reverse situation. You're poor. You don't have anything. No one wants to talk to you. You can't get out of it because you're too poor to get out of it. You know, you're penalized by the economic system because you can't even afford to start playing the game. You're stuck at zero. And you can't get out. And the revolutionary types, you know, they go to the people who are stuck at zero and they say, hey, you're stuck at zero. Why don't you burn the whole goddamn thing to the ground?
Right.
Because maybe in the next iteration, you won't be stuck at zero. And for young men, that's a hell of a call.
Right.
Because they're already, let's call them expendable biologically. And that makes them more adventurous and risk-taking.
Right.
If someone says, and maybe that's why they wear the Che Guevara t-shirt. It's like, hey, I'm stuck at zero. Well, I'd rather be with the romantic who's burning the whole thing to the ground than to just... to stay locked in my immobile position. And so what Marx observed was that capital tended to accumulate in the hands of fewer and fewer people. And he said that's a flaw of the capitalist system. That's wrong. It's not a flaw of the capitalist system. It is a feature of every single system of production that we know of, no matter who set it up and how it operates. As soon as you set up a domain of production, and you need to because you need things to be produced, then you instantly produce a competition. And the spoils go disproportionately to a tiny percentage of people, right? So you still have this tendency for what's useful and good to be distributed, let's call it inequitably. And it's got the power of a physical law. In fact, there are people, they call themselves econophysicists. No one knows that there's a field, econophysicists, econophysics. And they use the same mathematical equations that represent the propagation of gas molecules into a vacuum to describe the manner in which money distributes itself in an economy. If you let the inequality ramp up enough, the whole system destabilizes because the people at the bottom think, fuck it, we'll just flip the system upside down.
Right.
No one wants that. Like, right-wing conservatives don't want that. So, because you could make a Republican argument and say, don't let the inequality in your neighborhood get out of hand because the crime rate will skyrocket. And the empirical evidence on that is overwhelmingly strong. Inequality drives crime. Now, you can say, you can argue about why, but the fact that it does, is that's not disputable. So we could have an intelligent discussion between the left and the right, and the discussion would go something like this. You need innovation, you pay for innovation with inequality, but you need to bind inequality because if it's too intense, then things destabilize. It's like, okay, we could agree on that. We've got the parameters set. Now we have to start thinking very carefully through how to do the redistribution issue, and we don't know how to do that.
That's my revenge. Yeah, no, we're good now. We're good. Look, I knew I was making a bad joke. I knew I was. I've actually been told that my stand-up comedy, like my real act, is like dad jokes from a dad who killed his children. That's my on-stage thing, apparently. Okay, your comic coming to the stage next. Also heckled me. What should I do to him? I don't give a shit. Let's hear it for Ian Ellis, everybody. Ian, how about it? It's Ian!
Harris! One more time for Kyle! Yay!
Oh no, don't!
You were telling jokes like you have throat cancer. Hey guys, you know what's funny about rape? I think comics make so many jokes about rape because they kind of feel like they're, but the grace of God, go I. Hang out with them. They're rapey creatures. Do we have neo-Nazis here? I don't know, but I'm going to start with this table if I'm doing an investigation. Two skinheads and a blonde-haired, blue-eyed broad. I'm going to let the laugh come in waves. It goes like Kyle, Leroy. I don't know all of you by name yet, but... It's not a terrible night, guys. It'll be fine. Kevin has pretty much given up on life. Like, this is hard for you guys because you're new, but it's extra hard for Kevin because he's been doing this for a while. And all of his peers are phenomenally successful. Jay Washington is hanging out with Snoop Dogg. Drew Michael writes on SNL. Cameron Esposito is like a gay icon. Chris Redd has a Netflix special, and he's here.
I don't know any of those people.
Probably why you're so unsuccessful. Those are your peers. But he's here. He's losing weight. That looks good. Woo. There was a college where, like, the millennials ran amok, and they started bullying the principal. And the principal is not allowed to speak with his hands anymore because it's considered too aggressive. And I was like, man, are they making those kids unemployable? If I was a parent, I would ask for my money back. How dare you make my child more unemployable than they already are? They're insufferable. They're an insufferable country. They're auditioning for unemployment. I like on Facebook, it predicts ads for you. Based on your likes and interests. I kind of wish they'd come up with an algorithm to tell people not to go to college. Based on your emoticons, online universities might be for you. And you should probably just sit home and quit drinking. I really wish AA would start suggesting... I wish Facebook would start suggesting AA for people. You guys don't know anybody that seems to be an alcoholic on Facebook? Am I the only person that thinks that deaf people are loud as fuck? A deaf guy was like throwing dishes around. I was like, the fuck is his problem? And they were like, he doesn't know it's loud. Like, slap him and let him know. I found out the other day that Muslims make up 3.3 million people. It's 2% of our population. And it turns out I like my Muslims like I like my milk, about 2%.
It's a whole joke.
2% are pretty good. They're manageable. 90% it gets a little wacky. When they start cutting off clips, putting trash bags on bitches. Women are garbage. Guys, I didn't write the Quran, it's just in there. The big thing is they won't let women read. I think it's just because they have one book. And they're like, oh man, if women start reading this, we're going to have some explaining to do. Because to be honest, we made a lot of this shit up. Falling over. My wife told me I better be funny tonight or else. I was like, or else what? She's 6 months pregnant. She like drops her guard when she's swinging. Ain't gonna do shit to me. Speaking of my wife, do you guys have black friends?
Yeah.
All three of them. I have black friends and they want me to start using dick pills. And use this pill called Swag. Because it's one pill to hurt the pussy and two pills to murder the pussy. And I said, baby, I'm going to get some swag and murder your pussy for your birthday. And she said, I don't think I want my pussy murdered. All right. That's the best I could do. My name's Ian Ellis. I love you, man.
So you were talking about how your comedy isn't necessarily orthodox to people that aren't down with what you're doing.
Exactly.
But that's a big part of like a big part of being a comic is learning to bomb and learning that what you do might not be for everyone.
Exactly.
And that sometimes
I like that.
You're just gonna have to suffer through.
I gotta suffer through a lot. Because, my comedy is unorthodox, bro. Like, some people rock with it, some people don't. I'm ups and downs, left and right, and right and right, and left and right. Like, everything is different to everybody. So, I don't care. You know what I'm saying?
I can't care.
I don't give a fuck. And I know everybody won't get it, but I know it's me. Like, I'm smarter than what I'm leading on to be. Like, for you guys to think... For anybody to think that another person is too slow, or I think they know actually what they're doing. Like,
yeah, well, I see the open mic is a gym.
Me too.
And so I'm like, what's the point of having a gym if I'm not going to work out?
A point exactly, bro.
And if I'm doing old shit, I'm not working out because I know what... I've been doing this long enough. I know what's funny about it. I know how to do it funny. So my objective is always to push myself to another level.
Yep.
Let's try storytelling. Let's try one-liners. Let's try anything different this time.
Yep.
Let's just be spontaneous. Keywords, whatever.
And the end product is, bigger picture, we do anything to make the audience laugh.
What you were saying about, like, being unorthodox, a lot of the criticism I get is people are like, you don't have an act.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Yeah. I do have an act. I do write down what works.
Yeah, me too.
And I do improve that privately, but...
Privately.
or on showcases.
Exactly.
But at an open mic, I'm not going to waste the opportunity to try and, like, strengthen a new muscle so I can be as strong as I can for when I'm on a showcase so I can... You know, it's like bodybuilding. It's like, so I can flex all the muscles when I'm up there.
Right. I mean, I totally agree with you. Like, I try different things out. Depending on what different land that you like, comedy will take you different places. And depending where comedy take you, sometimes at an open mic, you might have to go with a couple minutes of your fire shit because you know people are looking in that town. They live in that town. They have shows in that town. So, yeah, you might go with your fire shit a couple minutes, but I'm still going to treat it like an open mic. At the end of the day, I'm going to work on some shit. Even if my last two jokes are working on some shit, I don't care.
See, tonight was like a tough decision because I got enough laughs in the beginning. I knew I could break them open. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to do my old material and kill... I wanted to struggle through new ideas.
Me too.
Which is, it's a tough choice because, you know, the people in the room, they're the ones that book all the fucking showcases and local horse shit.
Yep.
And so if they see you up there bombing, they just think that, they assume that you suck.
Yeah.
And you're like.
Off of GP, like, oh my God.
Like, it's not that I suck, it's that I don't want to do jokes I've had for 5 years.
Right. It's my prerogative.
To win tonight.
Right.
I don't give a fuck about
who
tonight.
Who am I winning with?
I'm playing a longer game.
Exactly.
I'm playing a bigger game.
Exactly. Bigger picture here, y'all. I agree with you. But, Ian, it doesn't really suck. Like, we make that conscious effort, and people like me and you, we dive head first in it. We want that uncomfortability. You know, we want that. All right. Shake them up a little bit, man. You told me not to say that word. I'm going to use that word 800 times right now. I don't know. I'm not trying to, but my body is like, I'm a very stubborn person. Oh,
so that's what you don't like? Well, let me do it until it loses power.
Yep.
And then I'm going to do it until it becomes funny.
Yep.
And then I'm going to do it about 5 more times.
Yep. Enjoy.
<fuck you. laughs>
Enjoy. Oh, wait, is he on?
Yeah, I'm
smarter than the average bear.
So do you have a worst bombing story? Or do you want to talk about tonight?
Like, let's talk about tonight, man. Like tonight with me and my experience, like, I strongly encourage it. I knew what it was signing up. When I saw the people sign up, sit right next to me, and nobody else come in, I knew what it was. And I was okay with that. I was A-okay.
Now, that being said, the host definitely set the tone.
Yeah.
Because the host had a I don't give a fuck attitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which sort of, it set the energy for at least the first comic.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been redirected from there, but for at least like the first couple, it was set up as this, and then as they, you know, failed because they were newer comics, or as they, a lot of people didn't do their time tonight.
Yeah, a lot of people backed down real quick. Like it was one of those, like, you got 9 lions around you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, like, honestly, y'all don't understand. Like, the real motherfuckers, y'all real people who do comedy, man, bombing, straight bombing. But I don't look at it like that, E. I don't look at it as bombing.
How do you look at it?
I looked at it like I was in a room of my peers and people that I do find that are funny. They do got funny material, great writers, great idealists. Like, I was looking like I got little tycoons in the room that can help me out in a vulnerable moment where nobody's caught up with, oh, we got some audience members. Like, I was bouncing ideas off of them, and I wanted to see their opinion of it. Like,
you got a tag out of tonight, suggested by an audience member.
Honestly, that was my whole goal. I knew I was going to get a tag out of it, because I know with me, sometimes I mix up my words and do this and that, but if I present it to them like an idea, like, this is the way I'm trying to aim this joke, our human nature is to help. So even in that comfortable spot, I knew what they were going to do. I know it sounds crazy, bro. I'm not trying to say, oh, my God. But
there's a lot of different kinds of funny. Now, I strive for the I'm here. I'm here in the moment. And yeah, this is happening.
Yep.
And it's funny now. And we're experiencing this together. I try to make the moment funny. But that's a totally different energy from, this is my joke, where it's almost like a stage play.
Yeah.
Where, like, you have that stage energy and announcing of your shit. And, I think a lot
theatrical.
Of people... yeah. And when people have theatrical shit and there's nobody there, that bombing bombs.
It bombs super hard. Bombing makes you come out your comfort zone. And I saw it on Steve. I saw it on Oprah. I heard Masterclass with Steve Harvey. Check it out. I don't really like Steve Harvey like that.
Masterclass.
But honestly, with the Masterclass, Steve said, like, he loved bombing. He liked watching people who bomb because you, as a comic and as a human being, we work to try to dig ourselves out that motherfucking hole.
Nobody wants to do bad.
Nobody wants to do bad, but comedy is the only profession. And think about this. The only way for you to do good or get better is to bomb. Comedy is the only job that make you do that. Every other job is, you get better at it. No, we got to go out there and bomb. Like, you got to eat it. But you got to flip it. You got to can't be like, oh my God, they don't like me. Use that to your advantage. Like, they're there to help you write jokes. They're there to make you laugh. I mean, to laugh. Like,
so for me, it's a personal preference where I like sort of authentic, I deem it authentic, in-the-moment comedy, actual funny. Like, you're actually a funny person.
Yeah.
You didn't have to write this. You're just right. Funny. As opposed to very well-scripted, rehearsed.
Right.
Because I get tired of that. I feel like you're a sociopath. You just keep saying the same shit over and over. It's like using pickup lines to get women.
Right.
I'm like, how about you just learn how to talk to women? How about you just learn how to be funny as opposed to using these fucking cheesy lines?
Well, you know what? I like your comparison and your analogy, but I'm gonna be real with the audience. There was a point in my life where I only felt comfortable using the same. Like, I know they would get it. I didn't trust my old.
That's part of growing. That's part of the process. You got to learn the rules so you can go back and break the rules.
Because at the end of the day, there are no rules. Like, come on, man, Jim. Y'all don't even know, man. Right.
Now, tonight was fun for a lot of reasons. Like, I like watching the new guys because I can see what they're trying to do.
Me too.
And where they're missing the mark or missing the beat. But more fun than that is when I see the guys that have been doing it for years and they're saying shit that I know it's supposed to be funny. Yeah. I know it kills anywhere else. And they're eating dicks.
Yep.
And they can't adjust out of that.
They refuse to adjust out of it, bro. They'd rather eat dicks than adjust and jump on a limb and try some freestyling or try something different.
And one thing about that silence is you feel it.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of times I'll back off of a joke. Like, I might have, like, six lines I kind of want to get to.
Yeah.
But if I hit that wall of silence, that gets trimmed down to one line. Right. Two lines. Like, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
All right, I got to get out. I'm going to pull the parachute.
Yeah.
Next topic. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yep. You know what? I just became that way, but I'm still like, I'll eat it all the way through, bro. Because in my...
And that, I regret not doing that more often than not because I go, well, goddammit, I could have really seen... Maybe line three or four, or idea two or three, actually would have hit, and I could have unfolded this thing, but I cowered and I backed down to the silence.
Man, I'm so happy that you do that because honestly, I'm the type of guy, and I know people are the same way. Like, I don't get it on my first swing. Like, I don't really start warming up to maybe three or four in it. Like, whatever I'm doing, like my shot, if I'm working on basketball, my first couple ones are whack, but my third, fourth one, I'm like, okay, all right, I got it now. Like, that's just how it is, bro. And I eat it all the way through. But on the flip side, let's play devil's advocate. On the flip side, when people consistently see you eat it and don't really know what's going on because, you know, they don't really care like that, they think you're a horrible comic. But then you have some magic gift. Like, you make people laugh, but your jokes are, hey, I know what I'm doing out here. It's a gym. Like, I'm trying to be the best comic, and I got to work on this and that. Like, I know I'm going to fail at some things, but don't bother me.
I've given up on people getting it, and we were talking to a newer comic tonight, and, you know, it was rough for him. He didn't do his time. He felt like he got beat up. He was wounded by this.
Even the old head.
Which it was going to be bad no matter what, so.
Period. Period.
Sometimes it's you, and sometimes it's just... extremely low opportunity for success. Like, you gotta really turn some tricks and dance if you wanna win. And it's there if you want it.
Yeah.
You can break any room. I've seen rooms with like four or five people where it's like bombing for two or three straight hours and then that one person comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Changes everything. Yep. People are upside down, falling out of their chairs, laughing. Like, you can win over. Every room can be won over in some way. But I was telling this new guy, like, he was real beat up about it, and I was like, you gotta look at it like sports. Like, you gotta go listen back to your set, and you gotta look at the plays you made, the plays you could have made.
You ain't lying.
How you can improve your defense, how you can improve your offense.
Yep.
Like, this wasn't the war. This was just, you know, a battle. Look at this battle so you can win the war. Because the war is, can I be funny for life? Can I be funny for an hour? Can I be a comedian?
Yeah. And the answer is yes. Like, to all those questions, yes. You don't even need that much knowledge or that much... I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like, you don't need that much to believe in it. But, E, can I say this? Like, I feel like it's a psychological thing because everybody, they'll see a person bomb and they're like, I think it's our determination in us that we refuse to lose. So we're like, my material is way better. We get cocky and we get overconfident. Like, my material is way better. I'm not saying I'm better than Matt, but I know my material. And they go out there and they try their material. And you see it clearly not working. And the person who does win is like the one who don't give a fuck about anything. The one who's unorthodox. The one who's crazy. The one who's...
The one who'll get booed that night.
Yeah.
But... one clear distinction you can almost make is, like, real audience members, regular people, they're rooting for you.
Yeah, they are.
They want you to win because they're there to have a good time.
Point blank,
period. They want to have a good time.
Point blank, period.
They're even going to give you, like, grace and not like, they're going to put up with a lot of shit they shouldn't.
They know it's a comedy
just
show.
Just to try and have a good time.
Yeah.
What is this dude doing?
I don't know. He was about to get shot.
But comics... they're comparing themselves to you.
Yeah.
And they're looking at what you're doing and going, it wasn't that good. It was pretty good. Oh, I see what he did there. Like, they're looking at the math of it.
Right.
Rather than, you know, listening to the music.
And you know what? Oh, I like that.
But that is the thing for, like, new comics. Don't get too discouraged if you're like once you're around real people, it's like taking the training wheels off, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I have superpowers. I didn't.
And just understand, it's a part of life, new comics. No way around it.
Go listen to my buddy Ivan Ishkov has a podcast with Frank named Ivan and Frank, and Frank just went on a road trip, and he talks in depth about like the difference between open mic and real audience members. And it's worth, if you're a new comic, it's worth listening to, and if you're just a fucking fan of comedy, which you obviously are, you wouldn't be listening to the show. Or you're just, like, super high, and you're like,
but guys, like, keep it so simple. Remember what's in the name. It's called comedy. Open mic. Like, don't get too caught up on it. Like, it's open.
Open to the public.
Open to the public, and you can go out there and go work out. Like, working it out.
What are some other things that are open to the public? We got pools.
Yeah, pools.
Does everybody come to a pool look like a supermodel?
Hell no.
Fuck.
Hell no.
We got restaurants.
Restaurants are open to the public.
Does everybody that come in there know how to eat healthy?
Nope.
Fuck no.
Nope. Open to the public. Gyms.
Gyms.
Yup.
Like,
yeah. Right.
Schools.
Yeah. We just got a lot of shit out there open to the public.
There's a lot of shit that was for you. But you might not be for it.
Yeah, I like that. So, but just, man, just try and don't get caught up on it. Even for our vets out there. Guys, like, I saw a lot of our vets, like, you know, you got some respect for it. And you see them out there bombing. It's a part of life. But hopefully you guys can take my advice where you have a room of your peers, talented mugs who are in the same boat as you. You know, open mic, anybody could come out. You can have fucking Kevin Hart at open mic. No matter who you're around, you can reach out and touch them, and they can help you develop that. Because all we want to do is help each other, honestly.
A crazy thing, I don't think about this often enough, but sometimes when the room is shitty, I'll think, like, I'm not performing for this room, I'm performing for the podcast.
Right.
And so, like, after my set, I felt beat up, and then I went out and I listened to about half of it in the parking lot, and I went, you know what? The room sucked, but
you felt
the people,
beat up, bro.
The people listening to this podcast, they're gonna get it. They're gonna laugh at it because it was funny. It is funny.
Yeah.
It's just the people in the room weren't necessarily acting right. They didn't give me what I needed to open up and like take the engine out. Like they didn't let me be the full sports engine that I could be. Because, but they gave me enough to keep running.
Right. Because they're comics.
Yeah.
But
Or because I'm not funny enough.
You know what? Hey, guys, to get past all of that, like, for real, talk to your room. You know it's all comics. And be like, all right, give them a premise and kind of tell them what direction. There's no other comic I haven't met one other comic that try to tell you a joke or try to tell you, no, it'll be funny this way. Like, use that to your advantage. Like, for real.
Listen to people when they tell you you're a hack because I keep hearing a lot of jokes that I'm like, that's a street joke. That's an internet joke. That's a.
Isn't it sad that you can label jokes? Like, ain't a joke a joke?
No, because it's kind of like.
Cheap laughs?
Like, imagine if you ran a museum, right? And I'm a dope artist, I got all this dope original art, and then I also completely copied somebody else's portrait.
Cover bands.
And just, yeah, cover bands.
Oh, yeah, fuck, I can't stand cover bands. Fuck cover bands, bro.
And there's stuff that's just like in the zeitgeist or in the playground jokes.
Okay.
Like, everybody knows that fucking, like the,
Are they good cover bands, though? Like,
all right, so here's an example. This one guy said, like, I lost 127 pounds. Yeah, I left her. I was like, yeah, that's... That's a joke everybody knows.
Like, that's why I laughed like that. I was like...
So it's definitely... It's not original.
I didn't even move my tongue, bro. I was just like... I hummed it. Like,
but I get that he's a newer comic, and for him, that's like a placeholder to get through his 5 minutes.
You know what? You know what I'm saying? That's true.
I don't hate on him for that, but at the same time, I do... Anytime I hear that shit, I pull someone aside and go like, hey, you really like...
You pull them aside?
Because I care. I care about my open micers.
In a corner. And hey, man, let me holler at you, nigga. Oh, my God, I won't use the new word. No, I'm just joking, bro.
It's why I have such a reputation for being an asshole.
Yeah.
because I give people advice and
it's, well, he's the it's, nicest it's not, motherfucker
it's
ever,
not
man.
Asked for advice.
Yeah, that's why, bro. Because you corner them and they're taking a piss or some shit. You're like, hey, man, let me tell you about that last joke. Okay? Like, hey, man, we love you, bro. That's why you got no E.
But I do it all with love. I do it because I want people to improve.
Yeah. Because he know he about to see you next week and he hope. Did you try some new shit out because we had to open mic? He at the gym. Can't say he don't work out because that motherfucker work out.
You know, if I keep seeing you miss the swing and I tell you choke up,
hey,
it's not because I'm a dick. Right? It's because I want to see you make the swing.
And guys, remember, everybody has opinions. Like, what's the difference that you'll take Kevin Hart's opinion over Ian's opinion? Hey, I'm just saying, Kevin Hart got money. Like, Ian could be saying the same shit. Like, it's advice. And if people are trying to help you, man, all you got to do is just listen. That don't mean you gotta take it.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I'm terrible at the business side of this. So if Kevin Hart tells you about the business, he's right.
Yeah.
But see? If he wants to tell you about funny.
Right.
Let me tell you
hey,
something.
Hey, man,
else.
Let Ian tell you something. Sorry, Kev, I'm coming for that ass. What?
But then again, his funny might be business. And, you know, I could be wrong. I could be wrong having all his integrity. And
I'm just coming.
Shit.
I'm putting it out there, man. I'm coming for Kevin, bro.
Coming for Big Kev?
Yeah, I'm coming for you, big bro.
Those are big little shoes to fill.
Man, I know. Ready to knock it out the park. What's up, man? Mayweather, McGregor. Let's
biggest
go.
Biggest doll shoes you'll ever. I could cram your giant feet
look,
into.
Look, that motherfucker wear the same outfit as a Ken Dow. Like, that's how you get dressed up for all these, I don't even know where I was going. I'm sorry, guys.
State shows.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. My name's Ian Ellis at Chicago Open Mic.
Hold on. Can I give a final word?
Let me do the plugs, and then you do the final word.
Do your thing.
All right, so listen to Eskimo Bros Squadcast Podcast.
All day. What's up, fellas? What's happening, man? Good shit out there, y'all.
We got Mike Jacks looking for the racks. We got Toys Just Toys. We got Grade A, the baby mama bandito.
You know what he doing? Knocking walls down.
Go ahead and get you some swag pills.
Oh, yeah. Y'all.
And
my neighbor home. This girl is so pretty, y'all. Y'all don't even understand. Like, she is gorgeous. Like, when I say gorgeous, I'll be outside with my shirt off. You know what
she's
I'm saying?
She's literally the girl next door.
Like, literally. Like, y'all don't even understand, boy.
But y'all, please like and share the podcast. And I think Leroy is going to leave us on a final word.
All right, final word, guys. Open mic, bombing, you need it. KB told me this, man. That's the homie. KB told me you can't give a fuck. And I've always had that philosophy. You don't give a fuck. You know what you're going up there to try. Understand you're working with baby geniuses. Everybody's a genius in their own. But you're trying to better the joke. So why wouldn't you ask for their advice in an open mic? And try new shit out. If you do get an audience, try new shit out. But don't give up.
It's not failing to try.
It's not.
But not trying is failing.
Oh, so true.
So go ahead and try.
And fail.
Take your lumps.
Man, eat it.
Get stronger.
Eat that shit, bro.
Be a goddamn warrior.
Man, because at the end, you're going to come out so much better. You haven't been through life if you don't fail. A nigga can't tell
me. You need that gravity.
You need it. You need it to smack you in the face. And understand, man, failure is... It's not kind. It come in many different shapes and sizes, but hey, man, take it. Eat it.
These kids, these comics, they all need gravity.
Yeah, because y'all so sensitive.
Sensitive.
But you know what? There's a new generation around, man. We out here. We the dirty babies, we running shit right now.
Dirty,
old heads,
dirty.
Move out the way. You know, we got
move,
this.
Bitch.
We got this. Trust me. We coming into our own, man. Younger generation, get with it, get lost.
All right, y'all. My name's Ian Ellis. And I love you. Good night.
My name is Leroy Hits. Ladies, find me. I love y'all.
Booker.
I gotta take a piss so bad.